Thank you, Steve. We're in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Are you?
Now, this bill's been passed by the House and the Senate, and will now go to Trump for signing. And Trump says he's going to sign it because, remember, privacy only matters when we're talking about his tax returns.
We're talking about privacy in this hour as the rain continues to come down downtown Chicago in the Showcase Studio. By the way, Steve, my guest is on the phone line, and I think he, Chris Doerr, is going to talk to me a little bit about, it's kind of related to what you're talking about there, although I had a little trouble understanding the story about the Russian hack here.
Okay, Clinton Watts, he's a fellow at Foreign Policy Institute. He's a former FBI special agent and was a witness today at the Senate Intelligence Committee hearing, their first public hearing on Russian meddling in the campaign.
Yeah.
And one of the things that the cut I played for you was he posited that first of all, he told Marco Rubio that the Russian intelligence campaign targeted all the Republican candidates. But when it came to Donald Trump, that he was in a way especially useful because he would take things that were fake news stories or others in his campaign and then relay them as if they were true. And that served directly into the Russians' hands. Let me just read for you an exchange here from an ABC reporter in the hallway with Clinton Watts then after his testimony. And she says, are you suggesting that then-candidate Trump made the Russian tactics more effective? Clinton Watts responds, absolutely. President Trump makes these more effective because he uses a system very similar. He cites conspiracies, he cites falsehoods, and he uses them in a political way against his adversaries. As long as he continues to do that, not only can we not counter Russian active measures, we're actually promoting them. Again, the ABC person, you're saying he's using the exact same tactics as the Russians, and Watts responds, yes.
But does that say that Donald Trump knew that that was fake news?
No.
Well, so he was an unwitting accomplice. Then.
He was a dupe or duped in a way.
Yeah.
He bought the pudding and then shared it with the rest of us. That's what this guy is saying.
Yeah, but I don't think that makes him different than any other politician who thinks they've got damning information about one of their opponents, right? I'm trying to be sympathetic to the president here because
sure.
If the president is an accomplice, then we all suffer. So I'd like to think that. However,
well, there's two things. There's an active accomplice where you're in cahoots,
right?
Or there's an unwitting accomplice,
which.
And I think Watts here is arguing that he may have served as an unwitting accomplice. Now, John, it's not like all other politicians. If the standard for what you repeat and proclaim is different, right? I mean, I think President Trump's through the campaign. And even now has been lower than most politicians who rise to that level.
Well, they asked him about. They asked
Sean.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. Okay. They've admitted as much. They said, if we say something that's not true, that doesn't make us liars. It simply means that we're honestly telling you something that we heard. They have no interest in ownership of the factuality. Is that a word? Factuality.
It is now
of the information. Okay, so how about this story? Front page, Chicago Tribune today. Illinois joins internet privacy battle. Somehow that reminds me of this. The proposed Right to Know Act is scheduled for committee hearing in Illinois. Here's what's happening, as I understand it. The Obama administration passed regulations that would make it more difficult for internet service providers, like you have your cable or your internet access through Comcast. They wanted to make it more difficult for Comcast to sell information about where you surf on the internet. That was going to be the law. But now that we have a new Congress, new administration, a whole new feel in Washington, D.C., it's more business friendly. They said, you know what, we're not going to, in fact, engage that law. It will not go into effect. Those rules will not go into effect. We're going to keep it the way it is, and that is you will be less protected. Your privacy will when you surf the internet. Now here's Chris Doerr. He's with Edelson PC. He is a partner with that company, a law firm that specializes in this whole arena, if I understand correctly. Hey, Chris, it's John Williams, and you're on WGN. How are you?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on.
Is that the start of this conversation, that those regulations were going to go into effect, but in fact they're now not going to go in effect?
That's absolutely right. It was something put in place by the FCC during the Obama administration that actually had not yet taken effect. It was going to take effect later this year. But now the FCC under the Trump administration has rolled it back. So we're back to where we started, effectively.
Where we are now, yeah.
Yeah, but consumers essentially are in the position where they are much more vulnerable than they were going to be. These are necessary steps that have been put in place, you know, one piece of a much larger puzzle to protect consumer privacy, and now they've been eviscerated.
So this is a niche in the law that you all have carved out over there, is that right?
Yeah, we focus on consumer technology and privacy issues. You know, what you guys were talking about before with hacking and security, data privacy and data security are really two sides of the same coin. One begets the next, where it's important to protect privacy, you have to have security in the first place. You can see that from the DNC hack, that the lack of security created yeah. this huge issue where these personal private emails were revealed. And that's something that really extends to everybody. That extends to consumers, that extends to businesses. And not only does the federal government and state governments need to be looking at data privacy, but they need to be looking at it from a data security standpoint as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'll repeat something here, but I think it may have been debunked, but I'll tell you that it's exactly what they put forward is the truth. Reince Priebus was saying that John Podesta's security password was 1234, or was password. I think he said it was password. And I believe that may be debunked, but it sure sounded believable. A lot of us are very vulnerable that way.
It's incredibly believable. I think it was false, but if you look at people make lists of hacked passwords, and often the top one is password or 1234. And that goes to, you know, a lack of regulation, that there is not requirements being put in place to force companies to enforce security rules. It's really the Wild West at this point, and it's a national security issue when it comes down to it. You
know, yeah, I understand that. Here. But this is sort of a different topic. What we're saying here is that if I'm a Comcast customer and I get my internet through them, they essentially, is this correct now, have some sort of record, some sort of digital footprint of every place that I've gone, and that they can share that information to people that might want to buy that data?
Yeah, the ISPs have the best access to your personal history and how you interact and how you deal with the internet. You know, Facebook might know certain things about you, Google might know certain things about you, but if you have Comcast internet and that's your access to being online, then they are getting every website that you've gone to, they're getting every access point that you have, every piece of software that's accessing the internet. They're collecting that information, and now with the rollback of this, they are free to be able to repackage that, sell it to advertisers, and be able to use it in really any way they want to profit from it.
Well, do I have to be notified that they're doing that, or have I already signed off on that?
There may be certain disclosures in your privacy policy with those ISPs that say they're going to share it or they may use it for other purposes, but there is no way that they're going to have transparency that it's going to actually explain it in an understandable way to a consumer, because not only is it sold once, but once it's out of their hands, you know, there's a whole data analytics industry out there that is going to repackage it and resell it and be able to say, we know that this is John Williams, and we know where he lives, and we know what he surfs on the internet, and we know what he buys, and that is a commodity. That is something that somebody wants to know about you.
But that's already happening with Google, right? If I remember recently I was looking for space heaters for out on my back patio, and all of a sudden on Facebook and everywhere I went, I was seeing pop-up ads for space heaters. So clearly something was going on there, and it was fascinating. It was a little creepy, but it was also a little helpful because I was in the market for space heaters, you know?
There is. And you know, it's important to say that it's really good that this aspect of it has been getting a lot of attention, that the ISPs and their access to data. But they're only one piece of a much larger pie in terms of who is out there collecting your data and repackaging and reselling it. And
right.
Some of it, you know, there are conveniences that are created through that. But, you know, what we focus on is consent and transparency. We want consumers to understand why that's happening or how that's happening. And to be able to have certain choices to be able to opt out, that they don't want those ads to be following them around, that they don't want their ISPs to be collecting information, to make that choice and to do so knowingly.
Yeah, right. Well, by the way, I eventually bought the heater. I was still getting ads. I was like, why don't you guys tell all of these ads I don't need heater anymore, you know, for one thing.
It works that way. Yeah.
But the ISP is different than Google and Facebook, right? I mean, Facebook and Google are doing this currently, and they're doing it well, or you maybe you don't like it. But this bill, would that have stopped Google and Facebook from doing what we're talking about right now?
No, but it might have stopped them from buying information from your ISP.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It goes two ways there. Like I said, there needs to be better coverage at both the federal and the state level of much more than just ISPs. There needs to be a broader discussion about data privacy across the internet and across our digital lives, and for people to be able to have the informed choice to control their information, because it's valuable, but it's valuable to you and it's valuable to a company, and you should still be able to have control over it. So while this ISP issue is getting a lot of attention, it was not the solution to the whole problem, but it was a big step in the right direction that has now stepped back.
I'm thinking about the commercial side, but suppose I was looking at legal pornography, and that would just be embarrassing to me if that information was, I don't know, commodified and sold or shared. What if I was buying guns? What if I was looking at a weird religion, and that could be embarrassing or maybe damaging to my reputation? I guess I would like some protection on that end.
Absolutely. And those are all pieces of information that your ISP knows. They know all of that.
And are you saying
a lot more?
Yeah. And so really, I am sort of vulnerable those ways right now, right?
Yes. And you have been for a while, and you will continue to be. And like I said, you would still be vulnerable to some of those issues based on data collection metrics that occur elsewhere on the internet, that when you are visiting a website, it is not necessarily anonymous. They have ways of being able to know that it's you, and to be able to track your IP address, cookies on your computer, and other ways to be able to collect this information and know. Even your phone has, you know, a unique identifier. So if you're browsing on your phone, they can match that up, and they know this is John Williams' phone, and now he's on this website, and we're going to tally that up and package it.
Alan had a question for you. You're on WGN. Alan, what did you want to say?
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call. So in light of the discussion that you're having with the caller, what is the upside of this new law? What explains why the Republican majorities in both houses passed this law in the first place? Is it just an abstract distaste for regulation? Is it a pointed repudiation of the Obama administration? I can't figure out what any benefit is to diminished privacy. Any comment?
There is a huge benefit to the business community that this data collection, data sale is a hugely profitable business. It's billions upon billions of dollars, and they want regulation lifted. And, so this was done not at the congressional level. It's the FCC, it's the federal agency that gets to regulate these. And so they took it away at the pressure, though, of the Republican majority and of the Trump administration. There's articles out there today. You can see that tracks actually the massive amount of money that flowed to certain people that had influence in making these decisions. And the bottom line is it is a huge, huge profit center, and any type of restriction on it will reduce those profits.
So follow the money trail, in other
words.
Yeah,
kind of. How about that?
Exactly. There
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate the call.
There's absolutely no consumer benefit to this whatsoever.
I guess not. One of the criticisms, though, of what we're talking about right now is that the other side says this bill isn't going to offer anybody any protection, that this is just another layer of bureaucracy, and it doesn't help anybody at all.
That just isn't true, because it is one step in tackling a very large area of data collection and making people aware, and frankly, you know, just putting it in a more public space, people to understand it, that your ISP is capable of doing this type of thing. But if people care about privacy and they care about someone else profiting from their personal information, and then potentially having the exposure that you were discussing about embarrassing or personal issues, all of these things are, you know, individually affecting, and without regulation, they're just kind of being run over by these companies who are incredibly hungry for this information. They are every day figuring out new ways to use it, new ways to monetize it. And there are companies just, you know, coming up completely that the deal with this stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I don't know
they,
that.
They don't want any regulations to stop them.
Stay right there for just one more minute. Chris is with Edelson PC. He's a partner there. This is the area of law that they practice, among others, but it's kind of fascinating. And when you look at that front page story today, Illinois joins internet privacy battle. If we're not going to have protection at the federal level, then maybe the state can regulate it. We'll finish this conversation in a minute on WGN. Let's just finish this conversation with Chris Doerr with Edelson. It's Edelson PC, and he is a partner there, if I'm not mistaken. Are you a partner over there, by the way, Chris? Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct.
So just a couple of questions from our listeners about this. One is from Kendall, I think. Hey, Kendall, this is John. What was your question?
Hi, I just wanted to ask Chris if using a private browser or a private window is a way to keep Comcast and other companies from tracking the IP address.
No, that will actually not prevent it. That will, you know, cover up your browsing history and other things like that, but that does not necessarily prevent certain types of data collection and your ISP, because they essentially come into the picture before it reaches your browser, and they are routing all your traffic, so they know where you're going, even at that point.
All right.
The main way to avoid this types of things, or some of them, is through a VPN, which is effectively a alternative way to misdirect or to kind of disguise where you are on the internet. A lot of companies use these as secure ways to access into like their own servers for remote employees and things like that.
But from a consumer
use, it can help shield your identity and prevent certain types of data collection and data association that can happen.
Man. Used to be you just pick up the phone and call somebody or send somebody something in the mail. Now the convenience is sort of with, you know, the great power and convenience of the internet has also bought us a whole host of problems. And I appreciate your time and expertise on this, Chris. Let's visit again. Thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, well done.